The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre. It has been years since I've done this show with you, Tony.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. I'm sorry. I didn't catch your name.
Really?
What'd you say?
Tony, you danced at my wedding. You danced.
I did.
And you left at 9:30, but you danced.
I did, and there's video of that. No, I mean, I'm so happy to work with you. It's sort of like working with my grandsons. You know, it's like, you're this little kid. It makes me really happy. And you got dressed up for me. You didn't wear
a t-shirt,
you got a jacket and tie. Good for you. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. Wilbon is taking the day off, so I am pleased to be joined by the host of the ESPN Daily podcast, Mr. Pablo Torre. Nice. Nice. And we begin today with tonight's NFL game, the New England Patriots at the Los Angeles Rams. The Patriots stayed in L.A. all week after beating the Chargers last Sunday. The Patriots have now won 4 out of 5. The Rams are 8-4. They lead the NFC West. Pablo, two questions. One, do you see New England winning tonight? And two, if they do, what chance do you give them of winning out and then making the playoffs?
So I do see them winning tonight, Tony, and I see the chances of them making the playoffs from there because they play the Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins at like 91%. I think Bill Belichick, Tony, is salivating at this. He's salivating tonight, first of all, because he knows the pressure that you can apply to Jared Goff disintegrates him. That is his great vulnerability. That is his kryptonite. He pioneered this more than anybody else in that Super Bowl that we're finally getting a rematch of tonight. And we saw in week 8, Brian Flores, the shiniest apple on Bill Belichick's coaching tree, do the exact same thing, obliterating Jared Goff. So from there, you ask me, hey, can Bill Belichick, can he beat the Bills and the Jets and the Dolphins? I've spent 2 decades only seeing that. So yeah, I'm going to give him a solid 91% on that.
This is so wonderful. It's a 91%, the 91 TPI, the Torre Probability Index.
Yes, that's right.
By the way, both Miami and Buffalo have better records this year so far than New England. I point that out. I want to pick the Rams, but I concede that your point is well taken. There's two things about Jared Goff that are odd to me. One is that at home, he's not as effective a quarterback as he is on the road. In 5 home games so far this year, he only has 3 touchdown passes. He's got 14 on the road. Now, the Rams are 4-1 at home, but it's like he's trying to drag them down at home, and this is a home game for him. And the point you made about Brian Flores is exact, okay? Because Brian Flores was a defensive coordinator in the Super Bowl when Jared Goff, through Belichick and Flores, was eliminated. He produced no points other than a field goal, and I think he was sacked 4 times. And when Flores got him this year, he got him into 2 fumbles and 2 picks. So I'm going to still pick the Rams, but I do it without a whole lot of confidence, specifically because of Belichick on the other side, yes.
I mean, look, this is the hardest game of the Patriots season. I fully admit this. I also feel like there is some element of, like, do you believe your lion eyes or Bill Belichick? Like, I just am not ready, Tony, to write off the guy who has made the AFC East, despite Josh Allen being good, despite Tua being promising. I'm not ready to say, actually, that era is over and done with.
Yeah, I will just say this. It's going to be hard for New England to score. Los Angeles, and New England doesn't pass anymore because Cam Newton can't pass. So they run.
That's correct.
It happens that Los Angeles is number 3 against the run all year and number 5 in scoring defense. So I don't know how they do that. At least they haven't been turning the ball over in the last few games like they did early in the season. And again, I want to pick the Rams, but there is some reluctance on my part. There is.
All right. Speaking of other people who are trying to run, James Harden is expanding his list of preferred trade destinations, Tony. First, the Rocket star was totally set on the Nets. Then he added the Sixers, and today The Athletic reports that he's open to being sent to the Bucks or the Heat. So, Tony, which team would you like to see him on?
Yeah, so, I mean, I find it sort of amusing that he only lists contenders. Like, he could actually do something for a contender. This is a guy with no rings, and what he'll do for a contender is get him bounced out earlier in the playoffs than they want to be bounced out. But let me take both these teams. You can go to Milwaukee with him, and you can win a championship, and then Giannis stays, and everybody's happy, and that is the blue sky view. What I think is more likely is that he will try to wrest the team from Giannis. This will create tremendous division in the team, and Giannis will announce that he's going to leave in free agency. I think the better fit for him, Pablo, is Miami, because Miami needs a bona fide scorer. As good as Jimmy Butler is, he's a sort of a reluctant scorer. I can see Jimmy Butler and Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra saying, we can make this work. We're strong enough. Our culture is good enough. We can make this work. But that is a particularly selfless team in the East.
Yes.
And he is the least selfless player in the entire league.
Yeah, I love, first of all, that with this whole story, there's a very letters to Santa vibe to this because he has no power, right? He's under contract. He's requesting, hey, can you help me win a ring, basically? And the Rockets don't have to do any of that. But to the point of the Bucks, what I love about that story with Milwaukee is that Giannis, during the All-Star game last year, remember, they were doing those drafts, him and LeBron drafting their players. Giannis passed over James Harden for Kemba Walker and said on television, Tony, I want someone who can pass. Now, I think James Harden gets a lot of flack that's undeserved. And he's underrated, honestly, a lot of the time. But you already see, whether or not you think Giannis is a good GM, he is the de facto GM of the Milwaukee Bucks. So that, to me, seems like a non-starter if that's how Giannis feels. But the Miami thing, on the one hand, yes, I see Pat Riley being the only person who can, like, tame James Harden. But you put James Harden in Miami. Tony, the story that we're talking about has mostly developed on Instagram, because James Harden is in clubs in Las Vegas filling Prada bags full of honey buns and hundreds of thousands of dollars giving it to rappers. I don't know if Miami is the place for him to find a new, more disciplined version of himself.
So let me get back to the other point you made about how Houston shouldn't feel forced to do this. James Harden wants to break his contract. He wants to not play for Houston, but he would like Houston to pay him while they're figuring out where to send him. I, of course, would tell him to pound sand that I am not going to pay him any money at all. But people say, oh, well, then Houston will never get a free agent. Well, let's list the great free agents Houston has gotten already. Okay, there are none. I mean, it's not New York. It's not Los Angeles. It's not Miami. I don't really get why everybody, including Wilbon, says that Harden has all the leverage. I'm not sure he does right now. We are now going to revisit the comments of Mike Krzyzewski that we discussed yesterday here in light of significant postponements of games. Krzyzewski raised the issue that college basketball is wrongly plowing through this season. To underline that, we had 12 games canceled last night, 6 are canceled tonight, and 14 more are canceled on Saturday. Pablo, how do you feel about college basketball continuing to plow through?
I feel numb. I feel wildly numb because this was foreseeable. Actually, this was not just foreseeable, Tony. This was foreseen. There are 350 D1 college basketball teams. There are only 130 D1 college football teams. So all of the chaos in college football is literally multiplied here across counties and states with different rules, budgets, different programs. It's all a mess. And all you got to do is look at DePaul, okay? I'm going to bring up DePaul here because they're a Big East team. They have played 0 games so far because all 7 games have been postponed or canceled, Tony. UConn has stopped its program twice, and the scary part is I kind of shrug when I hear all of it because all we're trying to do is get to March, right? That's all this is really about, is get to March.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say this enough, how different college athletics is from professional athletics. College, they don't test in the same way. They can't isolate in the same way. Let's take the football season. They've managed to get most of it in, except in the Big Ten and the Pac-12, which started late and canceled games all the time. There's no equity to that season. Teams that have played 8, 9, and 10 games, it's not the same as playing 4 games. And in basketball, as you point out, there's so many more teams and they play multiple games in a week. So you're canceling games in bunches. Honestly, I haven't watched much of the college basketball games at all. I don't think it has any traction yet. Friends of mine who watch say they only watch the teams of the schools where they went. I watched a couple of games to halftime, and I started to think, well, what if they cancel at halftime? What if something happens in the locker room and they cancel at halftime? I find myself agreeing with Krzyzewski. I agreed with Pitino early that what are you doing? If you want to get to March, you don't need a resume of 30 games. You can have 10 games. What are you doing?
No, it just makes it ever more clear that these are two different sports within one theoretical sport. There is the regular season of college basketball that people don't really care about. And then there is March, capital M, and they've already laid out a plan. Let's remember, we'll do it in Indianapolis. We'll bubble up. Like, that's clearly where all the focus is already going to be.
It's good that you say March, capital M, because the capital M stands for money. That's why they're doing this. They got no money last year, and they want to guarantee they get money this year. And they're going about it. They don't have to start when they did. Let's take a break. Coming up, 3-5 LSU gave itself a bowl ban for this season. What's the word for that?
And what are the right words to describe the NFL flexing the Cowboys all the way off Sunday Night Football?
That's a stunner to me, I have to be honest. I mean, to me, I'm putting the Cowboys on any chance I get, you know, so.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Captain Morgan. There's more fun to be had. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Captain Morgan, part of Happy Hour.
Get ready for some pretentious words from Pablo Torre, who tells people he went to Harvard. State schools unite. What's the word? What's first?
LSU's self-imposed bowl ban for this season is blank.
It's sleight of hand. It's a magic trick. It's so you can't look behind the curtain because LSU knows what's behind the curtain, knows it's Odell Beckham Jr. handing out straight cash, homie, to players on the team on TV in the national championship game. It's a basketball coach who is still there who is accused of paying recruits, but only 11 of the recruits, not like all the recruits. So LSU says, we'll not go to a bowl this year, even though we're 3-5 and we probably wouldn't even get asked to a bowl, in the hopes that next year you're going to let us back. And what this is, it's like, please don't look at the bubbling cesspool. Because if you look at the bubbling cesspool, it's not just go Tigers, it's no Tigers.
Tony, this is Lenten. It is Lenten. I'm going to use a term from my Catholic faith. It is that 40-day period where you have to give stuff up to improve your moral report card. Except like all people that I know, you sort of wait too long and it's like, wait a minute, I should have done this when we lost by 37 to Auburn. And instead, I'm going to give up PlayStation, even though I spent all period looking to buy a PlayStation 5 and failed. Like, it's not convincing anybody, certainly not the people you got to convince.
Lenten, it's such a good word with the menorah behind me. I like it. Very good. What's next?
Rainbow Coalition.
It's blank that the NFL flexed the Cowboys out of Sunday Night Football.
It's apocalypse now. Let's understand something, people. The NFL is the biggest draw on television, and the Cowboys are by far the biggest draw in the NFL. So what you have is the Cowboys and the 49ers have been shifted from Sunday Night Football to 1 o'clock on Sunday, the black hole even of the NFL. And what is going on Sunday Night Football? The 5-7 Giants versus the Browns, who haven't been in the playoffs in like 18 years and are basically a standing joke. So the other word is, what? No, seriously, what? What are you doing? If you ask, well, you're doing this because there are no playoff implications? Are you kidding me with that? You're doing it for integrity? If I ran a network, I would want the Cowboys on every single prime time week that I had. This is actually rock bottom for Jerry Jones, because he's now in a class with Jacksonville.
Well, that's why the word to me, Tony, is ego death. This is ego death for Jerry Jones, because a wise person once told me a true existential crisis is when you stop believing the story that you tell yourself about yourself. And I wonder if Jerry Jones is staring at the mirror right now and thinking to himself, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be exceptional. America's team does not mean you're the best team. It merely means that demand for your team is allegedly inelastic. They're always going to want you, but except they don't anymore.
This is unthinkable and unimaginable to me. I mean, I don't care how bad the Cowboys are. They're going to outdraw this other game. People love to root for them. And this is just, I can't believe this one. That's it. Eat your words, Pablo. Let's take one last break, but still to come, Marshawn Lynch may be ready to return.
And Michael Jordan's golf course offers next level food and beverage service.
Do you know the name of the golf course, by the way? It's Grove 23.
I do not. What is it?
The Grove 23. The 23
Subtle,
is apparently
Michael.
The only reference to Jordan. I'm told there are no pictures of Jordan anywhere, which you would think there'd be millions of pictures of Jordan. There are none.
I would.
I mean, I got friends who played it. So I haven't yet. If somebody wants to invite me, I'm happy to go.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Captain Morgan. There's more fun to be had. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 24th birthday, Joe Burrow. At this time last year, Burrow was on his way to winning the Heisman Trophy with the highest percentage of first place votes ever, and on his way to leading LSU to a 15-0 record and the national championship in one of the most dominating seasons of all time. Burrow himself, he threw 60 touchdown passes, only 6 interceptions, completing 76.3% of his passes. Wow. That's a wow. Burrow was the number one overall pick by the awful Cincinnati Bengals. This season, he had 13 touchdown passes and 5 interceptions and was completing 65.3% of his passes. But he was taking far too many sacks, 32 in 10 games, because the Bengals couldn't protect him. In his 10th game against Washington, Burrow was hit and seriously injured his left knee, requiring reconstructive surgery. The team has said Burrow should make a full recovery, but teams always say that. If the Bengals really want Burrow to be around for a full career, they'll use this year's top draft pick to get an offensive lineman to keep Burrow from harm.
And not just any offensive lineman, Tony. This kid, Penei Sewell out of Oregon, apparently maybe the greatest offensive tackle we've ever seen. Like, that kid. Get that kid, especially because the Jets and the Jags obviously are preoccupied with the Trevor Lawrences and the Justin Fields of the world.
Yeah, that's what they need to do. They got to protect this kid. Happy anniversary, Adam Morrison. On this day 15 years ago, Morrison hit a late bank shot 3 to lead then number 9 Gonzaga over Oklahoma State. Morrison ended up being drafted number 3 overall by Charlotte and was a memorable bust, but he did pick up 2 rings as a fringe player on the Kobe Lakers in 2009 and 2010. That's not our real focus, though. Our focus today is on Gonzaga, the number 1 team in the country now. Their season is on hold because of coronavirus. Their game against number 2 Baylor last weekend was scratched. And if they return to the court on December 15th, as a school release says, Gonzaga will miss upcoming games against Tarleton, whatever that is, Southern, Northern Arizona, and Idaho. On December 19th, Gonzaga is scheduled to play Iowa, who just beat North Carolina and features Player of the Year frontrunner and Murray grad Luka Garza. To tie this in a bow, the one constant at Gonzaga from Adam Morrison until now is Mark Few, who is in his 22nd year as head coach.
I feel bad for Adam Morrison, Tony. I had no idea his career would turn out the way it has. He had a torn ACL, but he was co-national player of the year with J.J. Redick, who's had a 13-year NBA career. And Adam Morrison, according to Wikipedia at least, is an assistant coach of a high school basketball team somewhere in Washington State, which makes me hope at the very least his mustache, his patron saint of bad mustaches mustache, is still intact.
I hope he's happy. I mean, maybe he's happy, which would be nice. Happy trails
that would be nice.
To the old division set up in the NHL. As the NHL gets ready to start what will be a 52 or a 56 game season, it has rearranged its divisions, including an all-Canadian division. This became necessary because the Canadian government will not allow United States teams into Canada because of coronavirus. Teams will only play within their new divisions for the entire season, much like baseball did. But the first two rounds of the hockey playoffs will also be played within the division as well. The Athletic is reporting that there will be a scary loaded Eastern Division with Boston, Buffalo, New Jersey, the Rangers, the Islanders, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Washington. A Central Division of sorts will have Carolina, Columbus, Chicago, Detroit, Florida, Minnesota, Nashville, and Stanley Cup champ Tampa Bay, and a weaker Western Division of Anaheim, Arizona, Colorado, Dallas, Los Angeles, San Jose, St. Louis, and Las Vegas. Training camps will open January 1st, and the season will start January 13th.
I like, Tony, how this has been branded realignment as opposed to the reality of it, which is Canada doesn't want any of us in their country. Like, this is the only way hockey's going to happen. And the upside seems to be you're going to get you'll get four NHL teams out of Canada. They had two playoff teams 2 years ago, three last year, I believe. A little nationalism, patriotism that feels deserved on the part of our Canadian neighbors.
It's totally fine, totally fine. One omission, the Clippers added 4 years and $190 million onto the contract of Playoff P for reasons I do not understand at all. Let's go to the big finish. Yahoo reports that Boston College will opt out of a bowl game, citing the emotional, physical, and mental grind of the season. Your thoughts?
Somewhere, the executive director of the Duke's Mayo Bowl is very offended. Marshawn Lynch, Tony, told Conan O'Brien he would unretire for a competitor. Is that significant?
Well, he did this last year and it didn't work. This is the James Harden move. I'll play, but I have to play for a team that's going to win everything. The United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee today supported athletes' right to peacefully protest. Are you surprised?
I'm surprised anytime a large institution hops over the very low bar everyone has set for them. Golf Magazine, meanwhile, reports that Michael Jordan's course is using drones, Tony, to deliver food and drinks to players, so is that a good idea?
I'm afraid of drones. I am. That doesn't surprise anybody, does it? Last one, college football tonight. Pittsburgh at Georgia Tech. Who you got, Pablo?
Pittsburgh apparently leads the nation in sacks, so give me Pittsburgh. Give me the Panthers.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Pablo Torre. Thank you for watching, and check out ESPN Daily on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Please.
So happy you have a podcast, Pablo. Happy Hanukkah,
finally,
everyone. And it's Tim Kirkjian's birthday.
Whoa,
happy birthday
to Tim
Kirkjian.
Yeah.